field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade to black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host Tyler Flesch, joined with my co-host and father Brian Flesch.
Hey there, Bear fans. Where do we begin, Ty?
You're always, like, that's why I have your volume. We do sound checks, but, man, I'm just saying, you gotta let me know when you come in that hot.
Okay. Because
we did a sound check, and you were way lower, and I turned you up a little bit, and then you got all excited, and then I just flew through the roof.
Yeah, that's about the only thing that there is to get excited about is the doing this podcast right now.
Yeah, let's start with the elephant in the room, that Hallis Hall is completely falling apart, in my opinion. What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
Yeah, multiple things, right? So we have Dennis Allen, personal reasons. Dennis Allen rumored to be an FBI raid that there's... The bottom line is, whether what side you believe or not, there is conflicting reports on each side. And then on top of that, out of nowhere, Soldier Field gets robbed for over $100,000 worth of equipment on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it was lawn equipment, like garden tractors, things to keep the field trimmed up and in good shape.
I mean, obviously, it's not that big of a loss for them, but it's just, it's weird.
It is probably, as a Bears fan, it's probably one of the weirdest weeks that I think this franchise has ever had. Right now, if we a train wreck would be one step up from where we are at this point. It's just we look completely disheveled.
The Dennis Allen thing, though, I'd like to talk about because, I mean, anything anyone can do right now, all of this is what we're about to say is just pure speculation. And it's weird. The whole entire situation is weird. Pat McAfee has a show. He comes out and says, sources are telling me he was raided by the FBI. And so, and the Bears are coming out saying he was not raided by the FBI. Dennis Allen saying he's not raided by the FBI. They're saying that Soldier Field was not raided by the FBI. So there's this weird thing going on where no one knows the truth. They keep stating for personal reasons. Here's my thing on the whole thing. I understand that you want to have, your personal space, your personal reasons, but also you are in the entertainment business. The best thing I think at this point to do is not to be bullheaded and not to sit here and be like, hey, I got to keep sticking with the person. Just come out and say what your personal reasons are. That's my opinion. That's what I would do. That's how I would get out in front of this. Because right now, it is a runaway train. I mean, there is speculation of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's gotten, in my opinion, blown so out of proportion because, in fact, that you've got the front office basically coming out with the GM saying that this is all fabricated, it never happened. But you don't have them saying, okay, what really did happen with Dennis Allen?
And that's the problem, right?
I think that's a big part of it is I don't know if they're trying to protect his privacy and say, well, he's got a right to his personal privacy and we're not going to go into it and we've told you what we're going to tell you and that's all that's going to happen and come down. I don't know if that's part of where they're going, but... To be sure, it has not helped quell any rumors. It's just actually thrown a bit of a fire, excuse me, a bit of kerosene onto the fire that's already there.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Of course, you have a right to personal space, but honestly, don't you give a lot of that up when you get into the sports entertainment business?
Yeah, I think you do, in essence. I think you shouldn't have to give up the personal things that happen within inside your home, but your public life is absolutely on display.
There's rumors out there, and again, these are just rumors, but there's rumors that we have another Jared from Subway incidents here.
Oh.
That it might be related to pedophilia.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
This is what I'm saying. This train has gotten off the tracks completely. I don't know what, again, speculation. I'm not saying anything. What I am saying is I would get in front of this now, because right now you're letting everyone else control a narrative that's spiraling just out of control. It's like that game you played, remember, in kindergarten, telephone?
Mm-hmm.
And they would start with one thing and it'd have to get all the way around to the end and then repeat. And it was always just the weird, everyone always heard different stuff. I feel like that's what's happening here.
It is. It's exactly what's happening, because there's no bigger megaphone than the social media and Twitter and Facebook. And I mean, all these things multiply what's happening in our environment, you know, by a million. I mean, they just multiply things so quickly.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying get out in front of it. Wouldn't you want to?
Yeah, you would. I think they need to do more. I'm in agreement with you that I think the Bears need to do more than what they have. It's not been enough. Clearly, it's not been enough because it's not stopped everything. The only truth that all Bear fans know right now is that the product that we have on the field sucks.
Yeah, and that's
the only real truth we know.
That is true, and we'll get to that here in a second. I just want to finish up by saying this. Like, it just makes you wonder, because those jobs are so hard to get, and then you have that job, and then out of nowhere, you're done.
Yeah, that is the weird part. You're absolutely right.
Because it wasn't weird when he missed the week, right?
No, because that happens all the time.
Personal, okay, get it. All of a sudden, he resigns. It's like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
It went from, that's what doesn't make sense. Because these guys are addicted. Every player talks about the hours that coaches have to put in, and the hours, and this, and that, and this, and that. And then it just felt like, he just walked away, and it's weird. The whole thing is weird. He has an attorney now. Look, I just think, I don't know, maybe the truth is in between all this. I don't know where the truth is. I just know this is weird. This is absolutely the weirdest, craziest thing, and then out of nowhere, I'm just going to go out and say this. I think it's very weird, too, that they just, during this whole time, they just out of nowhere on, what, Friday night go, oh, yeah, we were robbed on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, just throwing that out there, I'm like, what is going on?
You know, I don't know if part of that in the way they did it was, okay, we'll, you know, this stuff is on fire over here. We'll get you to look at the smoke over here.
See, that's exactly right? That's what I was thinking, too. And I'm like, this is weird. Why? I think you have the right to have, you know, personal time. But I think what we need to understand as human beings and stuff now is certain jobs that you take on have certain risks. And when you're in the limelight and you're in, I mean, you're literally front and center of all social media and stuff, whether good or bad. You're going to have to, some of that, your personal life is going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to walk through an airport and people see you and say, hey, that defense fucking sucked. Yeah. You know, you're going to get yelled at and stuff.
That's part of the territory, right?
Right.
You take that on when you take on the coaching job.
All this is happening and I'm just still waiting for him to come out and say a statement. Like, that's the weirdest part, too, is he's not even like, he's using the GM to speak for him. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, the other thing, too, is I don't know how many years on average it takes you in terms of either college or pro experience to become a defensive coordinator of a team. But I'm guessing anywhere between 14 to 20 years.
Right. I mean, no. This is
something a lot of people work their whole lives for, right?
And then the goal is to be a head coach.
Yeah. And then to get into that position, and then all of a sudden you have 1 week where you're gone, and the next week you're gone for good. I mean, that's the weird, weird part of it. It's like, whoa, people don't do this in this profession. Like, talk about an outlier of an outlier of an outlier. He's an outlier. Just doesn't happen this way.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird. Well, we'll leave it on that. I mean, I think that's all we can say for it right now. I mean, my opinion is you got to get out in front of this.
Yeah.
You got to say a statement, because to me, it just... Well, to me personally, it looks guilty when you hire a lawyer to speak for you, because that means you don't want to say anything incriminating. Again, speculation.
Yeah.
But it does. Some of the vibes coming off are weird.
It's weird vibes. I get it, Ty. I think you're exactly right. I mean, and some of these attorneys too are professional people in terms of media control and design and PR and trying. So I don't know how much of this attorney that he's hired is related to something that's happened to him legally. Could be even related. I even speculated it could even be related to he's got someone that he's hiring because of he wants a defamation of character suit because of all of these kind of ambiguous type things that are being said out there. But the one thing that I do know for sure, buddy, is that you and I, along with so many other true and blue bear fans, deserve better.
Yeah, and you know, from the disaster off the field to now the disaster on the field.
Yeah.
Eberflus takes over. Defense doesn't change at all. What is his name? Stevenson, number 29, can't guard anybody.
He had a horrendous game.
The defense doesn't understand zone coverage at all.
The communication is next to nothing, right? I mean, when they pass guys off to each other, it's sad.
Whatever is going on off the field is directly impacting this team on the field, whether they want to admit it or not, which they don't.
Yeah. I will agree with that 110%, because it's one thing to watch our Bears team fall apart and have bad games. I mean, they're looking historically bad.
I mean, they're not to the point of the Mark Trussman with Mel Tucker defense.
Not quite. No, I wouldn't put him. I wouldn't put him in that category. But you know,
speaking of Mel Tucker, we dodged a bullet there. That's a whole nother thing we're not even going to get into.
No, yeah. Let's not even go there.
I mean, he had the worst defense though of all time. Remember that Monday night we got smoked it Monday or I think it was a Sunday night game? We got smoked in Philly. It's not that bad yet, but it is bad. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, you hire Eberflus to come in. We've now lost 12 straight games from last year into this year. We are 12 straight games. That's a team we should have beat. That's a number one overall pick that beat us, who has been floating around the league, and Baker Mayfield, who has been playing good. I'm not throwing any shade.
No.
But I'm saying, you know, again, you look at the roster that we put together and the pieces, we should be able to beat them. Let's flip over to the other side of the ball, the other big elephant in the room that social media, won't let die, is the fact that Justin Fields cannot see the field. There were guys wide open at every position. Fields later defends himself by coming out saying basically that the coaches... It's just too much thinking. I just want to go out and play.
Yeah, it basically said he was playing robotically, and when asked why, he thought it might be coaching, kind of implied throwing his coaches under the bus a bit. Though Fields later on came out and basically said, hey, you know, that was taken out of context. I wasn't meaning to throw the coaches under the bus.
I don't think it's taken out of context.
I'm not so sure about that. What's really, really clear is that on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball, that the system that they have and the players they have are not working together.
I mean, it's definitely coaching, right? Because we're seeing top players be brought in from other teams who are not even doing anything right now. Indy sucked as a defense under Frank Reich and under Coach Eberflus as the defensive coordinator, but yet you hired Eberflus. I think that we are to the point in week two, we need to clear house. I'm going to say it right now. Poles needs to go. It's done, buddy. You're botching this. The whole off-the-field stuff, the whole on-the-field stuff. To me, Justin Fields is a good player. How could he have been so electric last year with his legs and stuff? And I think they are trying to make him robotic. Like, hey, if it's not there, just check it down. Hey, do this, do that. It's so important for a quarterback and a coach to click, for the system to click, for the coach to realize what Justin Fields does well and click.
That's not happening.
It's not happening at all.
No, I mean, it's very clear that Getsy wants Fields to be a pocket passer like Aaron Rodgers, like the other people that he's been around have all been pocket passers. And I'm not so sure Fields couldn't be a pocket passer, but I don't think you're necessarily playing to his strengths by starting him there.
But again, like, look, and I'm going to use this example because it's just such a perfect example. Two examples. Brian Daboll, Buffalo, Josh Allen. Josh Allen looks great. Brian Daboll leaves. Josh Allen not looking so good lately. He's looking okay. But ever since Daboll left, he's averaging 2 turnovers a game, leading the league. Go back to, remember everyone busting Mike McDaniel's chops? Remember what he said about Tua Tagovailoa?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's the most accurate quarterback I've ever been around. This is when he got hired.
Yeah.
And he came in during practice. He said, this guy is the most accurate quarterback I've ever been around. Everyone's dying laughing because Tua looked horrible under Brian Flores, which, let's bring that up. Brian Flores, right? What did he do, Dad? Oh, he was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and it seems like he didn't have a lot of success on offense.
And now look at the Dolphins. The Dolphins are favored. They're a Super Bowl team. I mean,
well, remember when Tyreek Hill even came out and said, hey, you know, Tua's one of the best passers I've ever been around, and he came from being with Patrick Mahomes.
And everyone laughed.
And everyone was like, oh, he's just, the quarterback's got to feed him the ball, so he's just feeding the quarterback a bunch of, you know, platitudes. And
it's...
Wait, was he?
It's all about that relationship. Did you know that now, ever since Coach Bill Belichick, ever since he's lost Tom Brady, he has now a worse coaching record than Dave Wannstedt.
Oh, that's a stat.
Now, everyone wants to sit here and say that, oh, that's because Brady made that team. I think what you saw was a perfect marriage. I think both of them made each other that much better. I think Bill's a hell of a coach. I don't think he has the players to execute. And I think Brady was a hell of a player, but you saw it towards Brady and towards the end. Brady's last year was not good. They went down in a ball of flame. Like, they didn't make the play. It was bad. So, like, yes, he won one without him. Okay, but man, he only had like that one good year left.
Yeah, well, like anything, I mean, steel sharpens steel. So when you have two people that have two very different sets of talents, which Belichick and Brady represented, and in their prime, I believe they sharpened each other.
Right. And I 100% agree with that. And this all just gets back to us not having that.
Yeah. And by the way, for some of you folks, we're recording this on Saturday, right before the Kansas City game. And for those of you who saw the big hug that Luke Getsy gave Fields the other day, you know, people started writing about that. All's better. Getsy gave him a hug.
Nothing's better.
Nothing's better.
Show it on the field. Like,
yeah, nothing's better yet. I'm not saying it can't get better, but it isn't, and we've got a ways to go.
He's completely lost that locker room, right?
It's looking that.
I mean, I
don't know how you could look more disorganized at this point,
well,
both on offense and defense. Is it possible to look more disorganized? What would that even look like? I'm just trying to,
doesn't it,
to picture that.
Doesn't it feel like we're in high school? And I'm being serious because they made Chase Claypool apologize for his play. He's a grown-ass man in the NFL. Don't apologize. Do better. I don't need you to go say sorry to everyone. Like, Eberflus, what is that? That is ridiculous. And the rumor was because they were going to try to trade him. I don't know if the Claypool trade was a good trade, a mediocre trade, or a horrible trade. Because look at DJ Moore. DJ Moore has produced everywhere he went, and now he is struggling to produce with us. It's us. It's where offense goes to die. And we continue to try to run the narrative of monsters of the midway. That is long. That is dead. I think it comes down to Dad selling the team.
We aren't the monsters of the midway anymore. We haven't been the monsters of the midway for a while. We are the guppies of the offense. Okay?
Well, but don't you agree? I mean, we've said it before, but I think, like, I had faith that, you know, we brought in, what's his face? The guy that ran the Big Ten, was the commissioner of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I forget his name right now. And you know why I can't think of his name? And I'm going to be honest with you. It's because he hasn't done shit. Like, we bring him in, and then George McCaskey's like, yeah, hey, guys, I'm going to take, like, a less, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let it run itself. Everything that family has touched is just, I mean, turned to crap. Yeah. And when do we start making moves? Because we literally now are at the point where we have to make moves.
I don't know. I don't know when we start making moves because, you know, I mean, nothing's working. Even our running game. Last year, our running game at least was working. That's not even working this year. I believe if you look at what Herbert did and Johnson did last week, I mean, it was a paltry of an outing. And granted, yes, did we get behind? Did we end up having to throw the ball? And have we been behind each game? Yes, we have, and we've had to throw the ball. But we haven't thrown the ball well. I agree totally. Fields is not seeing the field. Yes, they're trying to make him into something he is not, which does not help.
Kevin Warner, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. The other thing too, Tyler, and I want to get back to this with Fields. I don't want to get too far off the subject, but doesn't Fields look to you like just a person who's afraid of making a mistake?
Yeah, no, I believe that's what he was talking about by, like, robotic. Like, don't throw there. Like, they've drilled in not to turn over the ball. And he looks like he's hesitating on throws.
He's tight. It's just, there's no fluidity to
none.
Him. None. And good quarterbacks have timing, fluidity, and decisiveness.
Yeah, but what does that say about Fields? In my opinion, it's all coaching. I know that people were open, and I understand that. And I'm not trying to make excuses. Fields, guy, he has to make those throws. But if he moves on, if he leaves the Bears and gets another job, which I'm sure he'll be a starter somewhere else, hopefully he gets set up with the right person for his career, because we're not going to give it to him. And I will root for him to do well. I think he is a good quarterback. I'm debating on whether he's a franchise quarterback or not. But again, you got to look at the team as a whole. Like, I know it's easy to point the finger at the quarterback position, but I will continue to harp on coaching all day because we suck at every single phase of the guy. Our special teams is non-existent.
Yeah.
I mean, No, like, honestly, our defense is just atrocious. I don't understand. You're a defensive coordinator who's now calling the defense, and you can't get the defense right. Quit hiring defensive-minded coaches. We need someone with an offense and a repertoire. We need someone who, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. It's looking like we missed out on Eric Bieniemy. Because what he's doing right now with Washington, he's putting up points with a rookie quarterback.
Yes, he is.
Again, comes from that Andy Reid tree. And I know, I hear it. So did Matt Nagy. But Matt Nagy was, he wasn't even the offensive coordinator. Eric Bieniemy was. And we decided to go with, I don't understand it. I can't wrap my head around anything that's happening anymore, because the level of misses and swings and misses, and like Ryan Poles is now a bad GM, in my opinion. He's not, you got to do something, bud. You got to react to what's happening, and your club is falling apart. Your team is, I don't know. Has the team ever won the first and second picks in the draft?
I don't know if we've ever, been there, but we're looking like we can challenge.
Oh yeah, to that. Well, I mean, you want to talk about teams tanking? Everyone wants to talk about the Cardinals, but the Bears. Bears up there.
You know what? I wish I would have put the Bears up there. You know my FanDuel bet, but I'm thinking now the Cardinals defense looks outstanding, and even the Cardinals offense looks a whole lot better put together than our offense. It's just, I re-looked at parts of that Tampa Bay game, Ty, and I was trying to find, okay, let me see if I can find a thread of something positive to bring up. You know me, because that's part of my personality. I'm an optimistic, I'm a positive person. I want to be able to find and encourage people's strengths. And I kept looking and looking and looking and looking. And by the time I got to the third quarter, I'm like, oh boy, I didn't have anywhere to go. And that almost felt worse than the team losing, because I was like, I can't even talk about a strength. What strength is there right now, especially heading into Kansas City, at Kansas City, that we can even go, well, okay, maybe they can turn this around. Maybe there's hope. I'm a man without hope.
Yeah, and I, you know, looking down at the schedule, is when do we get a win? I mean, I think...
So after Kansas City, where are we at?
0-3, and then we play the Broncos, and I think the Broncos are going to be 0-3, and we're going to be 0-3. I think the Broncos get their first win. Then we play Thursday night against the 2-0 Washington Commanders, but, well, who knows what the record will be then, but I think... We lose that one. The Vikings, I think we lose that one, even though they don't look good. But
they can throw the ball. They've Kirk Cousins is like second in the league right now in terms of yards passed.
Basically, we have a game against the Panthers on Thursday Night Football, and I think that comes down to the first pick of the draft game. I just can't believe we're in this position again, and I can't believe that we're still going to hang on to Eberflus. He's going to be 0-13. There is no way in God's green earth that we stand a chance against the Kansas City Chiefs. They are going to beat us by 21 points. Yeah, easy.
Vegas has them already at 12.5-point
favorites.
It's
13.5 now.
Oh, is it 13.5? Okay,
it's grown.
I didn't look, but... And usually if Vegas has you in 12.5 or 13.5, you're easily two touchdowns.
We are the biggest underdog. And that's including the Cardinals playing the Cowboys.
I know.
We're the biggest underdogs.
It's
that's including the Thursday night butt whooping that the 49ers handed out to the why am I blanking on their name? Who did the 49ers?
Oh, Giants.
Giants.
Yeah, Giants. Oh, man. Poor Daniel Jones. He just looked terrible.
That's what's funny, right? We pay... That was the worst contract in history, and they paid it to him. It just
under pressure, I think. And there's the other thing, too. I mean, under pressure, Daniel Jones is just horrific. But you watch Justin Fields under pressure, and quite honestly, he doesn't look that much better than Daniel Jones. In fact, Fields is holding the ball so long that I just want to yell at my TV, run or throw. I don't care which you do. Do something, but just don't continue to hold that ball.
Yeah, but we didn't see that last year. Now we're seeing it.
I know.
It's coaching.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's coaching.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, we can't coach. I'm with you. I also have zero hope. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know how we get around this. I don't have any idea what to do.
Other than
to watch the games.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to obviously watch the games. I the only hope I have is by some chance Poles wakes up and says, okay, Eberflus out of here, Getsy out of here, I'm bringing in these two guys, we're going to try to do something different. If Fields has another year like this, is he officially wrecked?
No, he's wrecked for us. He's done for us. He'll go on, and he'll be a decent... In my opinion, he'll either be a starter who's a decent starter for a long time, or he'll be a great backup, but he's not just going to fade away. We're going to lose out on him, and hopefully he gets with the right people. And
yeah,
but...
And guys, I know I interrupted you, but... I just keep thinking of DJ Moore and the terrible quarterbacks he played with and the terrible teams he played on, and yet DJ Moore got the ball over and over and over again, had 1,000-yard seasons, had multiple touchdown seasons, and we can't figure out a way to use DJ Moore in our offense? I mean... I got to ask, are we the worst of the worst that he's played in? Because I thought maybe he was coming to the best of the worst. I really thought that as a Bears fan. Oh, yeah, this Bears team with Justin Fields, we'll know how to use him. He'll finally get the ball. Fields will know how to use him. I don't know. Do we know how to use him? Because it's not looking that way.
No, but that's going back to this. It's the narrative. It's coaching. And that's all there is to it. And that's that. It's proven that we don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what we're doing. And I think, look, I'm going to be honest, too. I think it is on Fields. Like, I understand that maybe you think you're outthinking everything out there and that you're not finding open guys, but you need to, regardless of the coaching. I'm not trying to make excuses for him either, but also it's really hard when you've seen what good coaching can do for players and how it can turn them around. Like, we've already brought up, Allen and Tua. I mean, Tua is a laughingstock. Remember, everyone's like, oh, they should have taken Justin Herbert. Now everyone's saying, man, if Tua can stay healthy, and not take these hits, which he's not really taking right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where I'm just blown away by, like, we have to be on the lookout for something.
Yeah, I know. I just don't like you. And I honestly think every single Bear fan out there, God bless you, Bear fans. You're loyal. You're true. But I think you feel exactly what we're feeling right now, and that is, damn, not again.
You know what I would do? If we get two of the top five picks in the draft, I would contact John Lynch. Say, what do you want for Shanahan? I don't care about players right now. We need to get something right. And I think, honestly, in my head, I think there is no price for Shanahan. I think that there is nothing they would take, but I would give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, what do you have to lose, right?
Coaches can be traded.
I'll take McDaniels.
It says McDaniel.
McDaniel. I'll take McDaniel.
They're not going to fire him.
Is there any way we can trade for him?
Or I don't think they trade for him either.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I'm throwing out some names here because I'm desperate. I'm a Bear fan.
No, I've
seen this too long for too long, and I'm desperate.
But there has to be an alternative. Like, the Bears have to have that mindset, too, of desperation. Because I don't think desperation...
That's a really good point. I don't know if the front office sees the desperation.
But my thing is, too, I don't think desperation is a negative.
No.
I think that's what they look at it. They have all these stupid fucking built-in cliches tapped into their head. Oh, we're not desperate. A desperate team's not a winning team. Stop. Yeah. You are desperate. You're absolutely fucked. You've hosed us fans over for long enough.
Right.
I'm personally sick of it. Desperation, it's what you do out of the desperation. Not
that is the key, right? It's
right.
The actions you take when you're in a desperate moment
to get out of it that
really determine your fate and the fate of other people. There's been plenty of desperate actions throughout history that have worked really, really well because people said, this is our moment, this is my moment, this is the time to act. I just don't think we have the type of front office that is going to say, enough is enough, it's time to act.
But what happens come Sunday when we get blown out?
Oh, and we are going to get blown
out.
But
I'm being serious. I'm thinking like 10 to 45.
Oh, yeah.
Is the final.
Yeah.
But what happens then? That's my point. There has to be something. You cannot lose the way you lost last year. That's why, again, it's fucking Eberflus and it's Ryan Poles. And Ryan Poles, buddy, hey, bud, knock, knock, you're going to lose your fucking job and you're never going to be a GM again. They gave you a shot and you are fucking botching it. Because what is happening right now? You cannot have... How do you have the most cap space going into an offseason? You pick people up. You get draft picks. You trade the number one draft, the number one pick in the draft away. You build draft capital. You do all these things. All these things. And then you still continue to lose the same way that you lost last year. We didn't have weapons for Fields. Now we have weapons. Those weapons aren't doing shit. When is it that you go, guys, hey, let me sit down right now. I know that, like, as coaches will do that thing, Dad, where they say, we're not looking ahead to games. You better. Because where are you going to get your win? Because it sure as shit ain't coming on Sunday.
Well, I tell you what, too, Tyler, with that, and to your point, the other cliche that I'm really tired of hearing in the NFL is next man up. Because you know what?
That's not a thing.
Next man up doesn't mean crap if you've got a terrible system with a terrible set of coaches. Because next man up can be any guy. I mean, that can be me. That can be you. Look at our offensive line this year.
This is the same team that just recently cut Nathan Peterman, finally, who is statistically the worst quarterback. Like, Peterman has had his opportunities. He's so bad, he's not even a good backup.
Yeah. Yeah. And ask yourself, who snatched him up right away? No one.
Exactly. You tricked me for a second because I was like, I don't think he has a team. I was like, wait, who snatched him up?
I love that look in your face. Like, someone really snatched him up? No, of course not, you guys. No one snatches a guy like that up. But that's where we're at.
Is there a time in this season where Fields gets benched?
Oh, my God.
And they go to Badgett?
I could. You know what, Ty? When you first said that, I thought that is absolutely the most outlandish thing I think I've ever heard. But I could see with this coaching staff doing it. Hey, you know what? We need to rest him to get his head together. I'm talking about Fields now.
No, I'm not. You know, no, I don't think they're going to say rest him to get his head together. I think they're going to say he's not performing well. I think they're going to use him as a poster boy to get out of this.
Well, that would be low, wouldn't it?
Why not? I mean... Eberflus is making his fucking players go apologize. Apologize to dad. Apologize to dad. I mean, that like, how childish is it? You know what you do in the NFL? You find someone and you move on. You don't make a big deal out of it. I cannot tell you how annoyed I was. They're like, Claypool, he went out there and he apologized to his coaching staff, and that's why he's starting here today. It's like, I don't care. He shouldn't have to apologize. The team, see, that's another thing. They watch film together. You don't have to apologize because your teammates are going to go, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Get out there and block someone.
I was going to say where the apologies would really take place is in the film room, right? What the hell did you do? I mean, sorry, man.
Well,
my bad. But, my bad.
Right, like the players are going to get on him. It's
right.
Not like this whole narrative of he apologized, so we're going to put him back out there. Fact that Eberflus is what he is doing is what Nick Saban did when he went to Miami. That does not work for grown ass men.
It's taken out of Friday Night Lights.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. You can't sit here and say a healthy scratch. When you say a healthy scratch, you're saying they're benched. Why do you have to say that he's out for the game? Dress him and then not play him. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, why would you not even put him in pads? And you sit here and say he's a healthy scratch. What if we need him?
Oh, next man up.
Fuck you, man. That doesn't make sense. That's why Saban couldn't do it in the pros.
Yeah, that's exactly why Saban couldn't make it in the pros, because he attempted to coach the pros like you coach a bunch of college kids.
No, remember Jason Taylor?
Yeah.
The notorious Jason Taylor?
Oh, yeah.
He got on Jason Taylor because Jason Taylor would not lace up his shoes when he walked out on the practice field. He did it later. And he would yell at Jason Taylor, you need to... And Taylor's like, dude, who the fuck are you? Like, I've been in this league. I've been doing my damn thing. Like, this ain't college. You don't tell me what to do. That's ego. And that's hard to separate. And Eberflus is running a football program straight out of the 1940s. What did he do? Go to the Bears, go to Hallis Hall and say, how'd Sid Luckman do it? And, like, flip through the fucking pages?
I don't know. All I know is when Eberflus took over defensive duties last week, I didn't see a damn thing different.
Nothing changed
about our defense. Nothing. Oh, actually, I did. Sorry. There were more problems in communication over the first week even.
Also, did Brisker just have to take a poop? Is that what happened? Because he got pulled for illness, and they said he's questionable to return, and then he was just out there, like, after he went back to the locker room.
Yeah,
like, did he just have to poop?
I'm really glad you brought that up. Like, that made no sense to me whatsoever. It still doesn't as I sit here, like, okay, well, did he have to? My thought was, did he get dehydrated because of the Tampa Bay weather? Did he have to go back? Did they have to pump a bunch of fluids in him? Oh, okay, now he's good. He can come back out again. Had not a clue. But that's kind of the theme with the Bears this year, right? None of us understand what we're seeing with our eyes, but we don't like it, and there's no explanation.
I think there is an explanation. We're just a poorly run. I don't know if we're ever going to get out of this rut with the McCaskies. I don't know, man. I'm trying to see the positives. And again, I guess just watch USC today. I'm serious. Like,
yeah, yes. You want to take a look at a quarterback? Maybe this is the one we might be grabbing.
Well, yeah, I mean, but again, I would be okay not even grabbing him and just trading everything away to get Shanahan or get a coach. I mean, what the 49ers are doing, where I'm just going to be honest, it's genius.
It doesn't matter what player goes
out,
right?
But no, listen, hold on. It's genius. Because what they have done, they literally move up in the same draft that Justin Fields was in and take Trey Lance. Trey Lance barely even gets to play, and they go, look, this kid is no good. They are now out there undefeated, 3-0, winning with Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. The last pick in the draft, who has never, ever, ever done anything in the NFL, they literally said, this is our guy. They trade away the number three pick in the entire draft. They just trade him to the Cowboys, and they bring in this guy. To me, that just shows how quick and how decisive they are and what a job John Lynch and them are doing. John Lynch is the general manager sitting there going, what do you think, Shanahan? He goes, we messed up. Trey Lance is not good. Yeah. We got to move on. The split decision making, they're not wasting time. Well, they're bringing people in. But they built a hell of a roster, and it's everything that they are doing. We are not doing
exactly. But it also gets back to a system. You didn't see Ayuk out there yet. Did that look like a team that missed Ayuk? Even though Ayuk's talented, no. You know why? They had guys simply inserted in the exact same system because the system works. Their system of play calling, of motion, of being able to get men in free space, it works, and it works consistently regardless of the name you put in there.
They run the most motion in the entire league.
They absolutely do.
And I don't understand. I think that, look, not only does the system work, but the system has to adapt. Look at Andy Reid, man. That dude's been in the league for a long time, and he keeps adapting, keeps being innovative. I mean,
but the difference is Andy Reid can set his ego aside and work with the people in the building, and especially Andy Reid has a great rapport with his players.
You know why, right?
Andy Reid will ask people what they think should be done.
But you know why he has such a good rapport is because there's multiple reports. He says, you know, be yourself.
Yeah.
Out there. Yeah. Go be yourself. He doesn't do this whole, you fit in a box. This is what you're going to be. And I think... you have to have a more laid-back approach and a more laid-back...
But that is the key, right? The key is you've got a good system that's innovative and adjusts on top of players that you allowed them to be themselves and adjust.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, too, is that there's multiple people that are now doing it across this league. Now, whether the Broncos' offense will start clicking under Sean Payton, that's left to be seen. I mean, Sean Payton, you're starting to see maybe him and Breeze were the good partnership because Russell is not looking good.
He actually looked better last week than he's looked
but
in a long,
he's
long time.
He
ran for 56 yards. Sam. He threw two touchdowns. I mean, he looked a lot better.
One was super lucky.
Yeah, I know. But he looked better.
I'm not going to have any of that because he played like shit last year. He is a shell of his former self. So to sit here and say he played okay, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. I can't do it because you can't play so bad that you get one good game and you're like, well, he looked all right. Remember him as a Seahawk.
I didn't say he looked all right. I said he played better than the game before.
Yeah, no, you said
looked better.
We can listen back, but you're like, he was looking better.
Yeah, better. Better doesn't mean great. Better means better than you
were
the week before.
I had him in fantasy football. He threw a Hail Mary that got tipped three times and then caught in the back of the end zone touchdown.
There's the truth that comes out. Bitter, bitter man.
No, I won. I won because of him.
Oh, did? Okay.
I'm not bitter. I'm being the complete unbiased of I had him in fantasy because Rodgers was my original quarterback. He tore his Achilles, and he's not playing good. I watched some of that game, and I'm like, what is this? And you want to talk about a guy with weapons and stuff, but I don't know. Like, what I'm trying to get at is, will we continue to miss or will we continue to correct? Because I can't do any more defensive hires. I saw a stat yesterday that said Lovie Smith was 10-6 when he his last season, and we haven't had a winning season since.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I understand what people are saying. This is probably an unpopular opinion. Sometimes it's okay to move on from that coach. I think it was time to move on from Lovie Smith.
I do too. At the time, I agreed with, I appreciated, and I felt gratitude to Lovie. I really did. Lovie gave us some good games. He gave us some good years. I felt the same way with some of the other more successful coaches. There's been a few successful coaches with the Bears. I felt a sense of gratitude when they did leave for what they did give us, you know?
Well, and also, like, again, to bring up Andy Reid, he never won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia.
I know.
But
he was always there in the playoffs.
But hold on. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say any of that. What I'm trying to say is that part departure helped both teams. Even though if the Eagles never would have won a Super Bowl with Doug Peterson, if that never would have happened, Dan, they would still sit here and go, you could look back at it and be like, why'd you get rid of Andy Reid? Look at all he's done. But I truly believe this. It was beneficial for both to part ways because sometimes you need a scenery change. And that's what I honestly felt like. That's what the Bears and Lovie were at. We were always a decent team, but again, good defense, zero offense. He had 11 seasons to correct that. It never got corrected. We've never had a passer over 4,000 yards. Like, I think we're the only team, right, in the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. I got to go get my Zoloft.
I mean, seriously, because, dude, the Lions have had that. I mean, the Lions had Matthew Stafford and it proven to be a good quarterback. They're a whole nother team, I mean, that's been in the pits, but at least they've gotten to see some offense.
Yeah.
We haven't you know, the best offense that I can remember? Are you ready for this? Was Rex Grossman when he had that fire month in September.
Yeah.
Where he was just lighting it up and we thought we had our guy.
Yeah, he was MVP for that month of September. I mean, he was just throwing that ball all over the yard and it was great. And we thought, man.
It was a fun three games.
It was a fun three games. And you know what?
But that's so sad. Saying it out loud is pathetic.
That's why when you're talking, I said I needed to go get my Zoloft because, man, I think I'm becoming clinically depressed again. And, you know, it really does come down to what you said, Ty. The more and more I think about it, is somebody just pull the trigger on this puppy, okay? Pull the trigger on this. Get the current coaching staff out of Dodge. Let's start over because it is too taxing on us Bear fans to watch the same show every week, okay? The same uncreative play calling, the same lack of communication, the same frickin' bubble screens.
So ESPN just sent me an alert. Sorry to interrupt. Justin Fields sought out Luke Getsy and quarterback coach to get everyone on the same page.
So let me see. Your second year quarterback is trying to help your coaches get on the same page. Third year. Okay.
Second year with him.
Yeah, second year with him in that role. That's alarming. A scary thought.
I mean, obviously Fields wants to get better. He's showing he wants to get better.
Oh, I believe he wants to get better.
He's doing all the right things, but
it comes back down to he's not in a system that the coaches and the system will allow him really to get better unless they undergo some type of transformation that is unearthly.
Are we ever going to see offense in Chicago? Because right now, you nailed it earlier in the pod. You said hopeless. You don't have any hope left. And I'm telling you, man, I'm trying to have fun.
I don't this year.
Don't apologize. Yeah. You don't have to apologize. They should apologize to us for the shit that they're putting on. We're not scoring points. We scored 20 points and then 17 points.
God dang. It's just unbelievable. This season feels like a bad episode of The Twilight Zone, and I just keep waking up to the same episode over and over and over
again. But the worst part is you get that little tease. That's the worst part. That, to me, is the part that is absolutely destroying us, okay? That part. And what I'm saying about the tease is that first drive, Fields marches down, boom, touchdown. Holy shit. Maybe we're back on page. Maybe, nope. Yeah. And as fast as that happened is as fast as that dissipated.
You're like a slave that gets a little taste of freedom, and you're thinking, oh, I have hope. And then, boom, pulled right away from you.
Yeah, look, I just feel like those first scripted plays were something that, like, wow, this could work. To me, it's like, how do you script plays and then you go to just calling a game? And it's like, well, hold on. Like, why can't you call a full game?
So, but it gets down to what we've said, and I love watching Bears football with you. Probably, son, one of the funnest things we do together. I mean, I like playing darts and cornhole and doing this, but that's probably one of the funnest things I enjoy doing with you is watching Bear games. And how can it be that you and I will say over and over again to each other, okay, you just saw DJ Moore make two nice, wonderful completions on routes you haven't run all year, and then you stop running the routes.
Look, and I hear you. And it's not, I don't know, maybe I'm just a glutton for punishment because I have to be in North Carolina tomorrow, and I am literally leaving early, like 5 in the morning, getting up to drive down there so that I have enough time to at least catch the entirety of the Bears game.
Yeah.
Even though I sit here and tell you that they are going to get killed, I am still emotionally invested, and
I
have to watch. And listen, it's not just, and honestly, it's not just for because of the podcast. I would be doing the same thing,
yes,
regardless.
Absolutely. And you know, Ty, I'm going to miss you. You know, you're usually in the lazy boy right catty-cornered for me, and I'm going to miss having you there tomorrow. I mean, you know, Bear fans, we know what this is about. It's about enjoying. It's about our football team. It's about tradition. It's about being with family. All of that stuff gets wrapped up, and we're passionate about these things. And I hope that passion comes through. Hope you know how much we still care for this team. And when you hear my frustration, it's out of the fact that we can do better. We can be better, and we're not.
Yeah, we're not better by any means. So I don't know what's I don't know, man. That's all I can say. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, words can't even describe how we feel right now. They literally can't.
Words can. I think we did a good job describing it earlier, but I'm just thinking to myself, like, well, one, I was looking through the schedule. USC plays tonight, but they don't play till 10:30 Central Time. Or Central Time. Jeez, I wish I was on Central Time. Eastern Time. So that'll be a late one. But look, I don't know, man. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know what we do. Hopefully, if we actually had someone in charge, they would take charge. But right now,
best prescription I have for you Bear fans is, you know, be with your family, watch the game, drink some beer because you're going to need it.
But also, if you have something else to do, you probably should go ahead and do that on Sunday because it's not. And they made it. You know what the worst part about the whole thing is?
What's made it
America's Game of the Week. So it's going to be everywhere.
That's the Game of the Week?
And you got to know that they are going to sit there, right? And they are going to, they are going to get so much hate. God, because it's going to be so bad. Nothing's going to change. I mean, Mahomes is going to just be slinging that ball all over the field, man. Yep. All over the field.
Yep. You're going to hear a lot of Mahomes to Kelsey, Mahomes to Kelsey.
I don't think so. I think you're going to hear Mahomes to everyone.
Well, yeah, that
we
too.
We can't guard anyone.
Well, you're going to hear Mahomes to Kelsey in the first quarter, the first half.
Maybe.
They're going to pull Kelsey out the second half because they're going to be... They'll have such a huge lead by second half that you could throw anyone out there and Mahomes will make them a star.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Next week is going to be a little different. I'm actually going to Denver on Thursday, so I won't be back till Sunday. Hopefully we can get one out Sunday or Monday, so there will be no podcast on Saturday. We're thinking Sunday or Monday.
Probably Monday, realistically.
But. Yeah, realistically, probably Monday. So keep a heads up next week. We'll probably be a little later, and we'll be out on a Monday. But we will have an episode. So if you've been listening this long and you're like, you know, what happened in the next episode? It'll be there, just be a little later. So, man, let's hope we do something and don't just get touchdowns and garbage time because I'm not even going to count those.
Yep, me either. Me either.
But hey, we'll try to have fun. But just remember, it's at least it's always a good time when you
bear down.